We're in Numbers 24. We're going to look at a couple verses here. Kind of got two different texts, if you will, this morning by way of introduction. Numbers 24. Turn that down. Holler. Numbers 24, and we'll look into a couple of verses here in just a second. Look down with me, if you will, at verse number 15. Numbers 24 and verse number 15, it says, "And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open." Notice verse 17. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh." And we could kind of say that today too, amen, in a different context, but we could say that today. "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." If you will notice in verse number 17, there's two important things before we turn to our text, second text verse. Notice it said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob." Notice that star is different than most of the times you find it in your Bible. Does anybody notice the difference? Capital S. Amen. You might want to mark that in your Bible. I have it marked in mine. That's important. And then the next phrase, it says, "And a scepter shall rise out of Israel." There's something different about that word scepter than most of the times that you find it used in your Bible. And that is, again, the capital S. Amen. So it's saying that he shall see him and he shall behold him, but he hasn't now and he hasn't yet. But this one he's going to behold and see will be a star and he'll be a scepter. Amen. So keep that in mind. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Now we'll fast forward a few hundred years or so. Amen. Exactly how many, I don't know. But Matthew 2. Amen. Matthew chapter number 2, if you will. Matthew 2, and we'll read a good many verses here this morning. Matthew 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We're going to kind of talk our way through these verses by way of introduction this morning, if you will, because as we sung about this morning, and as we know, part of the Christmas account is the wise men. Amen. But yet, a lot of the things that are talked about concerning the wise men, or a lot of things that are portrayed, let me say, concerning the wise men nowadays, are not correct based off what the Bible says. And so I'm not being mean this morning, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. So, but I believe the wise men are part of the Christmas scene, if you will, and I don't have no problem, and I'm not preaching this morning about somebody that has a nativity scene or that does. If you go see a live nativity scene, I'm not saying that if somebody puts three wise men in it that they're heresy, and I'm not saying none of that, okay? I understand why people do those types of things, okay? I'm not preaching against that this morning. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? So don't misconstrue that this morning into something this is not about. But I'm simply saying that the Bible says there was wise men, it said in verse 1. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us how many wise men there were. Amen. We do not know how many wise men there were. I would venture to say, based off history and the things that you can research and study for yourself outside of Scripture, that there was not three. There was probably a whole lot more than three. Now, that's different. Different people have different opinions on how many and all that. But I very seriously doubt it was three. The Bible doesn't tell us it was three. Most people that do try to say it was three, and the reason why most people do is the three gifts. Amen. That's the only scriptural reason that you could have to try to believe that, is that everybody had a gift that was there. Every wise man did. And so that's why there was three, because there was three wise men. That's why I believe that. And if you believe that this morning, that's fine. Amen. It's not a big deal, honestly. But the point is, there probably was more than three wise men that were together that day. Also, a second thing that you'll see, and I'll go ahead and give you this as we before we read the rest of the verses, the wise men were not there on the night that Jesus was born. Sometimes we have in our minds, because of the scenes that's portrayed again, that here come the shepherds walking in and they saw the baby Jesus laying there, amen. They got their sheep walking behind them and their staff, and it may have been something like that, I don't know. But then right after that, here comes in these three wise men all dressed up, right? And here they come right there, and there's the baby Jesus laying in that manger, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, just born, maybe still crying, amen. And here they are, and here comes the wise men in, and they lay down their gifts as Jesus is there in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's not what the Bible says happened and took place either. They came later on down the road. And you can tell that if you notice very closely, if you will, the words of Scripture here. And notice back in verse 1, it said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." In other words, Jesus had already been born, right? He was already there. They wasn't coming to see the baby that was going to be born. They were coming to see the baby that was born. Amen. The child that was already born. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born?" He had already been born, King of the Jews. "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." In other words, they were ones that watched the stars. Amen. They were ones that knew about, had studied the stars, the prophecies, different things. And they took and they were following this star. They had seen the star in the east, and they were following the star to the place where they were. Notice verse 3. "They come to worship him," verse 2 said. Keep that in mind. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young" what? Child. Not a baby. Amen. A child. That, again, another indication that they did not come on the night Jesus was born and there he was in the manger. It was later on down the road. Amen. A young child Jesus was at this time. A young child, the Bible says. Let's keep on reading. "And when ye have found him, bring me word again." And here comes a lie. Amen. "That I may come and worship him also." Not true. That wasn't his intention, was it? His intention was to kill Jesus, to wipe him out. Verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." There it is again, that same phrase. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for everything that you've done. Thank you for your word, dear Lord, that always tells us the truth. And dear Lord, we thank you that we can take and open up your word this morning and read it and study it every day in our lives. Help us to do, dear Lord, just that, and to have that daily devotion time, relationship with you like you would have us to. Thank you, dear Lord, the opportunity this morning to be in your house on this Lord's Day, this special day. And dear Father, as we take and open up your word this morning and look at, dear Lord, part of the Christmas account and what took place in the events surrounding, dear Lord, your birth and shortly thereafter, I pray that you'd take today and you'd open up your word to us, that you'd give us understanding, you'd speak to our hearts, and dear Lord, that you would do what needs to be done in our lives today. Whether someone needs to be saved, I pray that you'd do that, dear Lord, for one today that, dear Lord, has maybe got some things in their lives that shouldn't be there, maybe got priorities mixed up. I pray that you'd help them this morning to get those things fixed as your word speaks to them this morning. Help me today. Just use me, anoint me, fill me full of your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, and just allow your word and your spirit to work in our hearts and lives. Give us what we need from you today and help us to respond as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about today, there's a lot of things about Christmas that we could talk about. Amen. A lot of things about Christmas, a lot of, I guess you'd say, our earthly memories and different things concerning Christmas, and a lot of things concerning the Christmas account and what went on and what took place surrounding Christ's birth. Amen. And one of them, of course, is the wise men, right? And you think about the wise men, and I remember growing up, we had every year at church, we had a ministry called Drummer Boy Ministry, and we would take every year and we would give away toys and food to lots of different families and things for Christmas, kind of like what we did yesterday, except we would have them come to the church. We would have a few songs sung. They would sing a few Christmas songs with us, congregational type things, and then a little Christmas play that we would do, the young people in the church would do over to the side, kind of basically as the pastor read the verses is all it was. We would kind of come down front and do some different things, a few little things strictly with what the Scripture said. And I remember that several times I got to be a wise guy. Amen is what we always called it. I got to be a wise man and the pastor always liked to take and not have three wise men. And depending on how many people we had, sometimes he'd do two just to shake it up if we couldn't get more than three. Amen. But he would always try to have a little more, a little less, so he could kind of point that out, if you will, in the play, the things that the Bible said about that. But you think about there's a lot of things and a lot of memories concerning Christmas that we all could talk about that we've had down through the years. Here we see that the wise men, they came to the place where Jesus was when he was a young child. How long after? Different people say different numbers, so I'm not even going to get into that. But it was not while he was there laying in the manger. Amen. And but you think about, they came to search and to find him. They came, verse 2 tells us, to worship him, the Bible said. That was their reason for going, for searching him. They followed the star to that direction. They saw the star appear in the east. They started going that way. Then if you read on down, in the middle of that, Herod got involved, summoned for him to come. He said, hey, you find him, let me know. I want to go back. I want to worship him too when you find out where he is. He was trying to trick the wise men into telling him the place where Jesus was. But as they left him and they went on their journey, evidently they kept following that star to the place where Jesus was, if you read those verses carefully. And when they got there, or were along the way, there was a dream, there was a vision they had that told them not to go back and tell Pharaoh where Jesus was. That's why at the end of the verses there in verse 12, it said when they left, they didn't go see Herod. They went back to their own country a different direction. Amen. They took the scenic route, we might say, right? They was not going to go back by the way Herod was, because they knew that would mean trouble. And so they took and they went a different direction. But when I think about the wise men, we could talk about the three gifts this morning that they gave, and we could talk about other things. But there's one thing that I think of this morning when I think about the wise men, and that was that star there in the sky. Amen. I think about that star that was there in that sky that led them to the place where the Lord Jesus was. You think about that star in the sky. That brings back a lot of memories for me. I think about Christmas, you think about a lot of earthly memories, if you will. Let's kind of go to that side just for a second this morning. I think about different things that growing up that I had Christmas memories, and I think about some different presents and gifts that I was given down through the years when I was younger in unique different ways and things. And looking back on those, I have some memories of those. I think about different family gatherings where you would have them on certain days and certain times and certain things and certain foods, amen, and all that type of stuff that we would do. You think about all those Christmas memories that you have down through the years and all those things you think about. Christmas, I don't know about y'all, but as all the song says, it's the happiest time of the year, amen, as the song says. It's the greatest time of the year, right? It's the most jolly, joyful time of the year, as all those songs say in some type of way and some form or some fashion. But yet, in some aspects, Christmas is also can be the saddest time of the year, can't it? Because when you get, the older you get, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, you begin to think back on the way things were and the way things are now, not that they're not good, But you begin to think back about those that used to be there, especially on those Christmas events and things down through the years. You begin to think about how things was when you was younger. You begin to think, maybe for those of you a little older, how things was when your kids was younger. Amen. And you begin to think, if you're a little bit older, how things was when your grandkids, amen, was a certain age. But you think about those types of things, those Christmas memories, and all that type of stuff that you have down through the years. There's a lot of things concerning Christmas that we all could talk about. But I ask you this morning. You think about Christmas. There's a lot of important things about Christmas, a lot of things that we do every year, amen. A lot of traditions that we have concerning Christmas is what I'm trying to say. But what is really the star of Christmas? What's the star of Christmas today? You think about the wise men, they followed the star, amen. And we talk about that. We see that on our manger scenes and all those types of things this time of year. And I want to take this morning and give you this, just a little something. Amen. Not much. But I want to give you this, just something to kind of hold on to this morning. Because we're going to talk about the star this morning. And we're going to talk about the star that those wise men followed. You think about what it must have been like. I don't know about y'all. I was trying to remember, and probably somebody can Google this and tell us later on. I didn't Google it, but I could have and found out. If you remember just a few years ago on Christmas Eve night, I believe it was, or Christmas night, the news was making a big deal because there was going to be some special deal set up in the sky where the star was going to be bright. There was a certain star that was going to be brighter than ever before, and it wouldn't happen again for thousands of years. And I don't know if any of y'all maybe remember that. Hopefully some of you remember it and know what I'm talking about. But they made a big deal out of it, and then several of them said that they thought that might be the same scenario or scene that set up the night that Christ was born when those stars came. Now, I don't know if any of y'all remember that or not, when that star came and when it was so bright. Whoop, sorry. But I remember looking up in the sky that night, and I remember seeing how huge that star was. And I thought to myself, boy, I don't know, maybe that's something like what it was on that first Christmas. I don't know, in the scene that we think about. But you think about this morning, simply the title of the message is this: Who's the Star of Christmas? Who's the star of Christmas? We read back, if you will, in Numbers where it said there was a star that was to come, capital S. We see here that in the book of Matthew, we see that they followed the star. So this morning I think about Christmas, the happiest, greatest, most wonderful, most joyful day of the year, and I ask you this question this morning: Who is the star of Christmas, number one? But second part of that, who is the star of Christmas for you? Who's the star of Christmas for you? You think about this morning, maybe an answer, and I think this is probably, if we're honest, the most popular answer that will be given, especially anybody under 12 years old in America today. That the star of Christmas, hopefully my son wouldn't answer it this way, that the star of Christmas is, let's see what he says.
Jesus,
amen. That the star of Christmas is Santa Claus, amen. If you ask the average kid today, under 12, maybe even a little older than that, who's the star of Christmas, they would say it's St. Nick, amen. They would say it's Santa Claus, the man in the red suit, amen. The man with the big beard, amen. Amen, that's who they would talk about, the man with the hat, right? You think about the man that most importantly, all that's important about Santa Claus, but let's just get down to what's important. There's one thing that's more important about Santa Claus than anything else. The bag of toys. We don't care about the suit, do we? Kids could care less if he was in red, black, pink, or purple. They could care less if he had a beard or no beard. They'd say, yeah, it don't look like Santa Claus, I know. But they really don't care. As long as he's got the big red bag of toys. Amen. That's all they care about when it comes to Santa Claus. And may I say, even some adults. You think about this morning, for most of the world today, Santa Claus is the star of Christmas. Would you agree? For most of the world today, most of the TV, the most of the things that's put out there, most of the Christmas specials on TV that come out, they put who? Most of their songs, who do they talk about? Most of the stuff on the radio, who does it focus on? Santa Claus. This morning, I ask you this question. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. Don't go saying pastor preached against Santa Claus this morning, okay? Don't do that. I'm not getting into whether he's real or not. I sure ain't touching that one. Amen. Y'all can handle that later. But you think about Santa Claus this morning, I'm simply saying that for most people, Santa Claus is the star of Christmas. But I ask you this morning, is Santa Claus the star of Christmas? Is he the star of Christmas? Look at your star this morning and think about it. Is he the star? Is he the star this morning? Is he the star in your house of Christmas? Is that what all the kids talk about? Is that what all the grandkids talk about? Is that what everybody's focus on? Is Santa Claus? Is he the star of Christmas? Maybe a second person that might be the star of Christmas. You say, no, Santa Claus is not the star of Christmas at my house. Okay? Well, maybe a second possibility of who the star of Christmas might be at your house is this one. The small fries. I had to find an S, okay? No, I'm not being disrespectful. The small fries. Maybe the small fries are the star of Christmas at your house. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? The kids, right? You think about maybe they are the ones that are the star of Christmas. The older you get, it's not Christmas is about Santa Claus so much and he's the star anymore, is it? Because you find out the truth that I'm not going to reveal right now, right? But somebody else is the star of Christmas. It's not about Santa Claus, but it's about those kids. It's about those small ones. You think about the fact this morning, it's all about, and I don't know how many times I have heard people say this in a well-meaning way. I'm not being critical, okay? Because I've probably said it too, okay? About a lot of things. But how many times I've heard people say Christmas is all about the kids, right? And maybe even in this connotation, I've heard people say it. Everybody in here has probably said that at some point, especially the older you get. If you hadn't said it yet, wait a few years, you'll say that, okay? But in some connotation, well, we don't get gifts for the adults anymore. We get them for the kids because Christmas is all about, it's all for the kids. Amen? You think about today, that is a lot of people, that's what the star of Christmas is. It's the small fries. It's the small kids. It's the tykes. Amen? It's the children. You think about simply today, is that what the star of Christmas is? Some parents and grandchildren, some parents and grandparents are worried this time of year more about one thing than anything else, and that is finding the perfect gifts for those little ones. They're the star of their Christmas. They take and they go to Ollie's. I'm not being critical of anybody in here. I'm just naming stores. They go to Walmart. Amen. They go to Dollar General. And now I've found it sad to be true, they wind up going to Amazon.
Yes.
Because Toys R Us is closed and there ain't hardly nowhere stores to go anymore. Amen. Like there used to be. You think about, well, I can do it from the convenience of my own home. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything. You better order it soon enough, though, to make sure it gets there. Amen. We found that out. We had some stuff we ordered to give out at the Christmas thing to put in the bags yesterday and order them a couple weeks ago and still ain't got them. But anyway, we'll give them out next year maybe. But you think about the fact that a lot of times the kids are the ones that are the star of Christmas. It's all about going and finding that perfect gift, that right present, amen, or presents, amen, if you will, to see their faces light up, that they'll come to you as grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, give you a big hug and a big kiss, and they'll say, oh, I love my present. No, they'll say, I love you, right? But really mean I love my present, right? You think about, that's what it's all about, right? And to see them sitting there and enjoying it, boy, that is the star of Christmas. Those kids, those grandkids, those small fries or small children, however you want to say it, it's fine with me. They're the ones that Christmas is all about. They are the star of Christmas. But I ask you today, are the small children, the small fries, the ones that are the stars of Christmas? Are they really the star and what this time of year is all about? You watch the commercials, you'll see it's about Santa and those small kids. Amen. You listen to your music. You watch the TV shows. And I've watched some of the Christmas show specials and all that stuff. And I'm sure y'all have too. And that's what it tells you basically it's all about, right? For the most part. Is that the star of Christmas? But if you say no, Small fries, small kids, Santa Claus, that is not the star of my Christmas. Maybe it's a third thing that's the star of your Christmas, and that's yourself. You say, what do you mean? Maybe Christmas is all about yourself. It's all about you. Now you say, Pastor, no. Maybe y'all are a little bit different than me, but I'm going to confess a sin to you this morning. Even years later, once I got older and got out of home, still Christmas in my heart for the longest time was about me. You say, what do you mean? When Christmas rolled around, I thought, boy, what am I going to get? And no doubt some of you looking at me like, man, I can't believe the pastor said that. You felt the same way too. Think back. Amen. You think about yourself. Christmas is, boy, I can't wait to get that such and such that I told my son, my daughter, that I told my relative, my grandma, even once you get older, grandpa, that I wanted. Boy, I can't wait for Christmas Day to get that. Christmas is all about me. It's all about self, what I can get. Or guess what? I can get a good Black Friday deal and buy myself this thing early for Christmas. It's all about what I can get for myself. Maybe after Christmas, when everything goes on sale some, right? I want to get this for myself once it goes on sale. I've been watching it at Walmart, waiting for them to mark it down, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's about self. Maybe for some people today, the star of Christmas is self. What gifts they can give, be given, if you will, or what things they can go buy and give to themselves. Christmas is all about self. You think about today. Maybe, you know, you think about there's nothing wrong with, of course, getting gifts and those types of things. But if we're not careful, we begin to focus on the wrong things. You think about this morning, a lot of times these people that are in this condition where for them Christmas, the star of it's themselves, they really don't want to give any gifts to nobody. They really don't want to help anybody out like what we tried to do yesterday. Instead, they don't really want to give, they want to get. Right? You think about even some of those at Christmas time take advantage of people and ministries and things that are trying to give, and all they want to do is they think about, oh, I can go get this free from here, and I can get that free from there. Amen? Christmas for them, the star of it, is all about self. I thought about this, and the Lord reminded me of this verse today, a couple of verses in particular, but Proverbs 15 and verse number 27 is a good verse of Scripture for all of us to keep in mind this time of year, especially if you happen to be honest deep down in your heart and maybe fit into this category just a little bit partially of Christmas, the star of it being self and what you can get. Proverbs 15:27 says this, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." I thought about today, that's the way a lot of people is at Christmas time. They're greedy of gain. All they want to do is what can I get? But a lot of people, that's the way they live their whole lives, not just Christmas time, right? It's all about what can I gain, that greed. And it comes out a lot of times at Christmas time. Amen? When you give them something, they look, I don't want that, and throw it down. You think about the fact that greediness, if you will, that greed that people have. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. That causes trouble. But the second part of the verse says this, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Now think about that when you get a gift on Christmas. Amen. I ain't got time to preach that message today. But I'm simply saying be careful when it comes to greed and wanting what can I get, what can I receive. Remember, and I'm only quoting part of the verse, the words of Jesus in Acts 20 and verse number 35 that was quoted. The words of Jesus in part of the verse there that was quoted said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Some people, the only reason they do give that fit into this category is so they can what?
Write off on their taxes.
Well, there you go. That's a good one, too. I didn't think about that one. Amen. Maybe tax write-offs are the star of Christmas. No. But maybe you think about they give only to what? To get something back. Because I know Aunt Sally's going to get me this. I better get Aunt Sally something or I'll never hear the end of it. Right? I know Grandma's going to get me this, so I got to get her a little something. If not, I'll never hear the end of it. You think about the fact today, I'm simply saying that for a lot of people, the star of Christmas is Santa Claus. For a lot of people, the star of Christmas is the little ones. For a lot of people, the star of Christmas is themselves. I ask you today, is self the star of Christmas? Is that really what this day is supposed to be all about? And that star in this day is about self. Is that the star of Christmas? Maybe one more possibility, if you will, that might be the star of Christmas, and I believe this is the right one, is what David said a while ago. I believe Jesus Christ is the star of Christmas, don't you? I believe He's the star of Christmas. He was the first star of Christmas. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Because without Him, there would be no Christmas. Amen. As it's been said many times over, you take Christ out of Christmas and you have a mass. I don't know about y'all, I can do without those. Amen. Or a mess. Either way you want to look at it. Amen. And a mass is a mess, by the way, but that's a whole other thing. You think about, you take Christ out, there's no Christmas. There is no star in that sky that night that took and led the wise men to the place where the young child was. There is no star in Christmas. There would be no star today. There would be no Christmas if it wasn't for the star of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There would be none. You think about today, He is the star of Christmas. There would be none of these things that we've talked about this morning and more things concerning Christmas that we could talk about. Traditions, memories, some of these other things that we talked about that we do at Christmas time that there's not necessarily anything wrong with as long as they're in their places. Amen. Of giving gifts and different things like that. But simply today, what is the star of Christmas for you in your life? Who's the star of Christmas today? Remember that the star of Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers 24:17, I believe that we read at the beginning of the message this morning, was talking about that star that was to come with the capital S. I believe that was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May I say, He is, was, and forever will be the star of a real, true Christmas. Amen. You think about today, the star of Christmas was the one that was found in the manger on that first Christmas night long ago. The star of Christmas was the one that Israel had been looking for and they had been prophesied for all those years, that long-awaited, long-expected child, that Messiah. You think about today, without Christ, there is no Christmas. Without Him, the star of Christmas, there's no home in heaven. Amen. Without Him, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the star of Christmas, there is no eternity for you and me in heaven. There is no salvation today. So I ask you tonight, who is really the star of Christmas? May I say who the star of Christmas is, if you are honest this morning, is so clear and so easy to see as it was on that clear night when them wise men that were wise were looking at that star. There was no doubt which star was the brightest in the sky. There was no doubt which one showed the light, and there was no doubt which way to go to follow that star to the place where the young child was. May I say today, there's no doubt if you look around to see who the star of Christmas is, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. His light shines bright today. You think about even in those things, that in those places where the light isn't very bright all the other times of the year. I think about some of the places some of you and I work at. But you know what? There's a lot of things that shine even in those places, in those times, even on the music, on the radios, that still shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of year. You think about the fact He is the star of Christmas. Amen. He's the special star. He's the star. Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians 4. The Lord Jesus Christ is the star of Christmas. The question is He the star of Christmas for you this morning? Galatians 4 and verse number 4. Galatians 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, capital S, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." In other words, simply this today, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ came, amen, as that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, to wash away and to take away the sin of the world for all that will come to Him and be saved and accept Him as their Savior. You think about today, He is the star of Christmas today. He's the star of Christmas today. You think what a special day Christmas is, that the whole world would take and set this day aside to celebrate the birth of the greatest one that's ever been born, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think today, though, how much it has been commercialized and polluted, amen, and played down and politically incorrectness being put in, correcticized is the only thing I can think of, and that wasn't right, amen, that has been put into it with all the things we could get into. But you know what? He's the star of Christmas.
Amen.
He's what it's about. May I say this morning, today, who's the star of Christmas for you this year? Today, is He the star of Christmas for you in your personal life? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? You think about some of the songs that we sung this morning, talked about the fact that the light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light that's shining for thee. May I encourage you today to take and look at the star of Christmas that shined bright that night, the Lord Jesus Christ, that had been long prophesied to be born. Look at Him that's the light of the world today, and will you come to Him and be saved? Today, maybe you've allowed some of these other things in your life to be all that you're thinking about right now in this time of year. Is the lights, the tinsel, the kids, the presents, the Santa Clauses, the Rudolphs, and I'm not against Him either, but I'm just making a point that we allow those things to get into places that they should be, should not be, and we take the star out of Christmas. I don't know about you, but you think about our Christmas trees at home. I'll close with this. You think about our Christmas trees at home. There's always, you put up a tree, probably most of you have a tree. Some of you may be past that and say, I'm not putting up a tree no more. Kids are gone, all that. I understand that too. But you think about a Christmas tree usually has one of two things on the top, don't they? They either have an angel or a star. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to take and to go into somebody's house? And if somebody's house is like this, I'm not picking on you, I haven't been to your houses, okay, lately. But if you go into somebody's house and they got the Christmas tree up, they got all the decorations done. If that was at my house, Kelly's did them all. All the decorations look good. Well, David helped her a little bit this year, but you think about all the decorations are put up on the Christmas tree. It's there, it looks pretty as could be. But you look at that tree and there's nothing on the top. You look at that tree and you'd say, something's missing, wouldn't you? You'd say, that tree ain't done. That's not really a Christmas tree, right? Because let's be honest, what's the last thing you're supposed to put on and what's the most important thing of all? The star. Amen? That's the only thing I decorate on the tree, by the way. That star. And once you put that star on top, it's done. I'm simply saying today to say that Christmas without the star kind of is empty. Christmas without the one that is the star of Christmas kind of looks odd, don't it? Because how can you have this day and celebrate it and do all these things? What? Why? What makes it different than any other day of the year? What's the purpose? But when you know who the star of the Lord Jesus Christ is, the star of Christmas, that's like putting the star on the top of the tree and it brings everything else out. Amen? And you see what everything is really all about. This morning I ask you, who's the star of Christmas for you? I love the song that says these words in it. It says, He was born to die so we could live. He had the birthday and we got the gift. You think about the fact today He was born to die on Calvary, as another song says, so that we might live. Today I ask you, who's the star of Christmas? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I ask you, who's the star of Christmas in your life? Who's the star of Christmas in your home and in your heart and in your mind? Is it Santa Claus? Is it the little ones? Is it yourself? Or maybe something else? Or is it instead the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray.